Hi, I'm Judith. I'm a real compulsive eater, selfaholic, recovered Al-Anon. And so Jeff asked me to speak on the realization. So I don't know what justice I can do it in 15 minutes, but we'll give it some try, yeah? So, you know, when I'm taking people through the work now, you know, I ask them a bit now, do you want to know the truth? You know, are you looking for the truth? Or are you looking to continue to run the business that you've been in? Or, you know, for me, I had been in a security system business, like, you know, really it was just how I kept myself safe in the world. And I had to see, like, what is the trade-off here? How much benefit is there to staying in this business? And the book's really clear about that. It says this business is, you know, it's grave. And I won't go through every single thing, but to the extent that I permit my business to keep running, I will continue to experience the same thing. And it's the same thing like in inventory, to the extent that I think my way through inventory, which is the business I'm in, extra thinking, more thinking, thinking about myself, thinking about my security and safety. The more I think about it, the more repeating I will do of inventory. And so it has to come from a much deeper place. And I go to the book to find out what I'm really doing here. You know, I get really clear on what I'm doing, you know, and it's all very clear on page 62, you know, onwards. You know, the how and the why of it. And it tells, you know, that this selfishness, and what are they talking about? They're talking about self. And I was very intrigued by what is this self thing? What is self? And why am I relying on it so heavily? And why do I trade moments that and hours that are worthwhile for these this way of being? And, you know, and I'd been in program a long time, and I'd sobered up from some certain things and, you know, from food and stuff, but I was still having what people might call triggers go off, and I didn't want to do that, you know. So I just, you know, I went through this process a few times, and then it got clear, like, I'm going to have to go deeper than I've gone. And I didn't know what that meant. I knew the BBA, I've done it multiple times, you know. And so I just got blessed with people who walked right in front of me and took me to a place I'd never been. So in the realization, you know, we've already come, we've written down what we resent and what the cause is, you know, but we may have to revisit that cause. You know, I resented my dad for abandoning us. I resented my mom for freezing up and never making a decision. I still sometimes resent my mom for not making decisions. And I wanted to know why today, currently, it says, currently, maybe, I'm still feeling some of these weird sensations, not about them, you know, certainly not my dad. The resentment had disappeared about my dad, but anybody who dares have to have a smell or a whiff like my dad, you know, the perfume is still there, but it's pungent. It's not a good perfume. And I knew it's not my dad. So I had to go deeper. So I was thinking, and I looked in and looked at, like, should I bring a real inventory? I'm not sure, you know, because there's so many of them. And the last one I was just driven to write again about people had written about to see what have I missed? You know, there must be something I've missed. So the book's really clear, you know, we're prepared to look at it, to look at what? My life, all of it, everything, to look at the lies, look at the truth. And I better prepared, I was this time, to like allow God to take me somewhere inside I hadn't been. Like, I didn't know how to get in there, so I need God to get me in there. And I had to see it from an entirely, it says it, we have to see all of this from a different, entirely different angle. So I need to come from an angle that is not my mind. Because if my mind gets in the way, it's going to be the same old shop that I've opened up with the same old, you know, separation security system that I have in play. So, you know, it's very, you know, it's clear in that statement right underneath. It says in this state, you know, that people are going to dominate me. The world dominates me. Why does the world dominate me? That was intriguing to me. Why is the world still dominating me? And most of the time, I don't think about a lot of the world, but it could be just one tiny little thing that goes off. So I wanted to check into that. And it says we need to look at the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real. So I knew there was something coming up there that I'm going to have to look at. What have I imagined and what is actually facts? Because we're on a fact-finding, a fact-facing mission. I'm on a truth-finding and a truth-facing mission. And I have to be fearless. I have to go somewhere that God will take me, and I don't know where I'm going. So So that's the premise for why I had to go in. Now, you know, the book's clear. We got to go from different angles. We got to master resentment. And I know that I had many times easily seen what I thought was the cause of my resentment, that I have done it to others. It's so easy to see that, you know, like it's so easy. If somebody has been, you know, is disrespecting me, I can easily see, yes, I'm disrespecting them by complaining about them, or I'm disrespecting the other people, or, you know, it was so easy to see that. But, you know, you got to go deeper than that, you know, like if people didn't show up for me, like my friend didn't show up, it's like, yeah, have I never shown up for people? Sure, I've sometimes not shown up or shown up late, or, you know, I don't. So, you know, it was kind of like that, like, okay, that's so simple to see, but it's not enough. It wasn't keeping me mentally, emotionally sober. So I had to go a little deeper, and I, you know, I got lucky. I bumped into someone who took me a bit deeper, asked some more questions. So there's a second level you can go to, which is, can I see that which they are doing, I imagine, or I think, or I know, or is fact that they're doing to me, that I do to myself? You know, do I disrespect myself? Do I abandon myself? Do I walk out on myself? Do I don't know, you know, like, let's say somebody, you know, is not using their time the way I think they should. Let me see, do I not use my time the way I think God thinks I should? Do I squander time? Do I, all those kinds of things, you know? And so we can go deep, right? So even with people like my mom, who I resented her from a long time ago, that she froze in a terrifying moment in which we needed her to save us. And it's like, have I frozen in my life? But then I can step back further and not just look at the word freeze, but like, have I been unable to act in a way that would have been a caring, loving way to myself, right? To others, I can easily give you a list of those, but to myself. Now, the third level I can go to, though, is God. Have I done what I'm concerned about, what these people are saying to me, like doing to me, or even just like somebody looks like they're ripping me off here, like, oh, now I'm angry, or now I'm frustrated, now I feel like I'm threatened. You know, I can't get the deal I want from someone. I thought they were going to give me the deal, you know, so I can go down and see, do I do anything that's even familiar to that myself? And do I do it with God? Like, God has a deal with me. I can have a beautiful, peaceful existence. Have I broken the deal with God? 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, right? So for me, it wasn't about trying to find myself being bad, but I'm after the nature of what has gone wrong in my system. And remember, I was running a separation from everybody else security system, like they talk about a business. And I was waking up to that, even sober, wondering, why do I feel so bad about that? Why am I, you know, so there's just levels. We go down deep, and then there's a whole other level. You thought that was deep. Then I went deeper because somebody said, you need to go deeper. I'm like, all right. Now there's a big question I need to ask about the cause. So what is it that a person is doing to me, or what part of it, or what part of that person is like a part of me that I try to control or avoid? Because, you know, addicts are in the controlling and avoiding business. I've been in that one for a long time, as long as I've been in the security system business. And I know that something must have happened. So someone asked me, when did you first start doing this? Whatever I had found out in all these levels of realization, when did it first start? Yeah. So I try to give you a real example, like, you know, with my dad, I'll give you my mom, I think. With my mom, with the freezing up and she doesn't make decisions now and she doesn't do anything. She's such a codependent. You can easily see how I've done that to 100 people. You know, I was such a codependent, and how I was manipulating. And then there was all the how I've done that to myself ever. And then there was the how I've done it to God, you know, how I think I should run the show, not God. But, you know, I rely on God. You know, there's all this crazy stuff. But when I went down, I had to go deep and ask, like, what was it exactly I'm talking about here? What was the great threat that was going on there? And the threat was that she was not managing well. She since told me she couldn't, she froze. And I have not managed well, probably since that time. And so somebody said, go back and ask, when was the youngest time you could remember this whole issue coming up of not managing or feeling like being cared for wasn't being managed? Or ask yourself, what was going on at the time that you first had this experience? And with my dad, there was a lot of like hopeless, helpless, useless. Oh, useless is a big one for me, right? So hopeless, helpless, and useless. And I had to go back and think, when did I first start feeling like I couldn't manage, I had to manage? Or when was it like people weren't managing well and I felt useless, hopeless, and helpless and uncared for? These were four fat things, which is horrible. And so I went back to the earliest time I possibly could. And, you know, and there I was. I found a tsunami of trauma, of awkward, horrible situations, some by society, some by my dad. You know, my dad's philandering got us nearly killed. And crazy stuff. And, you know, rabbis making comments about me. I knew my family were bad people because they weren't good kosher people. All this stuff. My mum freezing up. There's all kinds of stuff that went on. But I went there and I looked at facts. So this is like, when did it first start happening? And then, so I sat with that for a bit and I really laid that out. And then I had to be asked, like I was asked, and I had to really sit again with what are the facts? Write down the facts. So I wrote down the facts of all those scenarios when the rabbi did that thing, when my dad did that thing, when my mom was there, when this happened. There were like three, probably four or five things in my suit, in my trauma tsunami. Around that time, I was 10 to 12 years old. And I wrote down the facts, and then I wrote another column of how I felt. I felt pretty useless, pretty hopeless, pretty helpless, pretty damn uncared for. And so this is another way to see it. Now, it's not that stuff I need to see. It's what happened next to me. What did I start thinking I would have to be? And the big book's clear. We've been asking God 100 times, what would you have me be? And I was struck by that. Because the book says real or imagined. I looked at the real facts. These are all real facts. But was there something I imagined that became the story of Judith? Me, I, an alternate reality from what God had made me. Another person separate from everything else. And I can tell you that I, at that moment, knew I am going to have to figure this out. I must and should and could and gotta. I have to figure out how to manage this situation. I will manage all perceptions. I will become a PR artist. And so all these, I developed a design around who Judith will need to be. And I believed it was the only way to be, because if I don't, I will die. I will lose my existence. And that was all imagined. I made it up. It was just in my head. It's like a thought. If you give a thought, think of anything you want right now, I can promise you in about 10 seconds, it will be gone. It passes by. But I hung on to, the book's clear. It wants to know what I'm holding on to in step six. I was holding on to that being the truth about myself. And that's just not true about myself. That was what I believed. And that became my principle in life. For as long as I can imagine, until I got here. And so I had to go in that place and I had to really go deep. And there were more levels that I went to. I did another level where I tried to understand the person who had hurt me. Sometimes it was a perpetrator. I had to really try to understand. If I want to forgive, I got to understand, where did they come from too? What did they make up about themselves? You know, my dad was a short guy who got boxed down multiple times in his life, and he probably felt like the only way out was to philander with women who would go out with him. He had no idea that somebody was going to try and shoot us for that. Like, that's nuts. I'm sure he didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I hope somebody comes by and threatens my family. Oh my God, I'm out of time already. So look, there's multiple angles. The book says we can come from multiple angles. Let us come from multiple angles. There is no limit on the angles we can come to. But the big angle is, am I still self-incriminating? Am I still making myself this belief, this other, this alternate, this separate person who is not what I was created to be? I was to be the child I always was, the free spirit. There's no necessity for that other. And I can't even tell you the changes in my life because of this. It's like I was mistaken. My identity was a mistaken identity. That's all. That's all. But then I had to go further because, you know, it's going to ask us about fear and delusion. But I was really willing at that point, like, you want to take me somewhere I haven't gone, just take me. I'm down on my sword here. I am done. I am done. And because the benefits never, ever of playing that role that I assigned myself never outweighed the costs. I couldn't give you one time it did. It gave me some skills. I'm the best organizer you can get, but that went crazy too. A lot of my assets turned themselves into deficiencies too. Problematic, you know. But anyway, it all came from a place of lack. And when I was ready to not hold on to all of that lack and all of that pain, I went in the door open with an undefended heart, with a love of my understanding of what God is for me. And I'm not in search anymore. It's getting a lot better. It's got a lot better. It's really got a lot better. And there's a lot more coming. So this is the realization. Go from any angle that takes you and let it take you right there. Because if it came as inspiration or someone brilliant stood in your path like it did for me, someone who had gone further, stood there, and then someone else came further. They'd gone further. They took me there. It was like, okay. And not everybody want to go there. You don't have to. Of course you don't. I think I was just ready. So yeah, I'm ready to live in the consciousness of a power so vast and beautiful and greater than me. And when I was ready, it took me there. So that's how I go there now. On any given moment, I can run myself through that thing knowing that the real self is God, you know. They never wanted me to be other than that. So, all right, I'll stop there. Thanks a lot for letting me go.